In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
One of the biggest things we've heard from the left when it comes to elections is that those on the right and all those nasty Republicans want to suppress voters. Well, last year, the left's free media was howling about Georgia's new election laws and how it would suppress voters, especially black voters. Some of the new provisions in the Georgia Election Integrity Act of 2021 were voter ID requirements for absentee ballots. It limited and codified the use of ballot drop boxes and barred the mass mailing of unsolicited absentee ballot request forms, which they had used in 2020 to blanket Georgians with the means to cheat. They kept calling it the new Jim Crow laws. Leftist activists called for boycotts of any company based in Georgia, of Coca-Cola, of Delta Airlines, of Home Depot, and so many others. Most famously, Major League Baseball pulled their All-Star game from Atlanta, ironically hurting thousands of black-owned businesses in Atlanta. Well, they turned out to be the worst Jim Crow laws ever. After all that hyperventilating, Georgia shattered turnout records in this last Tuesday's primary. The Washington Post hysterically shrieked last year that Georgia's new law would make it harder to vote. Except the exact opposite happened. This year, the Post had to admit that the record-breaking turnout was undercutting predictions that the new law would lead to a fall-off in voting. Funny how they left out it was their predictions. In reality, the biggest voter suppression of all is to make sure that no one trusts the elections. Why vote if it won't be counted? Why vote if it won't be accurate? Why vote if they'll just cheat? Asking questions does not make you a conspiracy theorist. Not asking questions makes you an obedient little serf, willing to serve whomever someone else decides should rule over you. It is normal to ask questions. We are not electing beauty queens. We are electing people who will have legal authority over us. It is not normal when election officials hide results, hide their data, and hide their methods. Or worse, sue you to prevent you from asking perfectly normal questions. It's we the people, not we the peasants. And guess what, your majesties? We the people have questions, and we demand answers. Only in the land of the lawless do elected officials use the law to try to shield their activities. And we're watching that play out right here in Oregon. I'd like to welcome now Stephen Jonkis. He is a former rocket scientist and chemical engineer. He's now an attorney. And Stephen, I got to ask you about that one right off the bat. A former rocket scientist.
Yeah, I used to work for Rockwell International in Houston, Texas. I managed the shuttle mission simulator, which was the primary simulator for astronaut training for space shuttle flights. And I did that for 7 years and 50 shuttle flights.
Wow. So how on earth did you move from rocket scientist to attorney?
I went to law school at night while I was doing that job at the University of Houston. That was like a perfect job. But moving on, you know, I wanted to do something more entrepreneurial and didn't want to be a middle manager in a big government contractor.
Mm. I can certainly understand that. So we wanted to have you on because there is a brewing court case here in Washington County. And we just wanted to drill down into this because it relates so much to election integrity. And you were kind enough to send us an important sequence of events, and I just kind of like to walk through this to kind of set the stage for people so they understand the story. An ordinary citizen, Tim Sipple, sought production of the test ballot days, a database, and it's important to note, not the elections results, not the software itself, the database from a test that the county had done. Washington County rejected the request. Washington County DA then orders the Washington County to produce the test database. Washington County refuses to hand over the database despite the DA's office or DA's order, and then sued Sipple seeking a declaration that it is exempt. In a separate but related event, as a favor to Janice Dysinger, who is an election integrity advocate and who does great work, I might add, as a favor to Janice Dysinger, Mr. Sipple picks up a hard drive produced by the county from a separate public records request by Mrs. Dysinger for the ballot images for the actual November 2020 election. Sipple discovers that a backup of the actual ballot database from the November 2020 election was on the hard drive. When Washington County found that out, that Sipple had a copy of the actual ballot database, they got a temporary restraining order from the court preventing dissemination of the actual ballot database from the 2020 election. The parties have now agreed to a protective order that allows experts to look at that actual ballot database so that they may testify regarding the exemptions, and the trial is scheduled for June 23rd, coming up in about a month or so. So let's back up just a little bit and unpack all that. In his public records request, what was Mr. Sipple hoping to find in the test ballot database? Why did he want it? What did he suspect he might find?
It's kind of like touching an elephant with a blind man touching an elephant. You don't know what's there until you ask for it. And so he was trying to understand better what the database would look like so he could make a more intelligent records request for the actual ballot database, for the actual election.
I see. So Washington County rejected the request. From the DA's decision, they were essentially claiming it was proprietary and therefore exempt. Isn't that kind of a dangerous precedent? I mean, you could effectively claim that everything was proprietary and never turn over anything about the elections other than the results that we tell you to believe.
Well, yeah, I think the county, I don't know why the county is taking that position. This is so clearly a public record. I mean, they signed a contract with their supplier, Clear Ballot, that clearly makes all of this a public record. They know it's a public record. I'm not sure why they're making, or fighting this. But now the state has intervened. So the Secretary of State is now on the side of the county to prevent production of this. And we'll see at trial, you know, what kind of case they can make. They don't have a good case as far as I'm concerned. No. This was intended to be public records from the outset. And the fact that it's not, I mean, and we're living in a world where we know there was organized criminal activity to influence the election.
Right.
2,000 Mules proves that.
Yep. And and if you don't have anything to hide and it was a fair election, everything was above board, it seems that you would want to hand that over. So, okay, let's go ahead and take a break. We're going to come back with more with Stephen Jonkis. He's the attorney in the Sipple case up in Washington County. And coming back, we'll talk about why the county is wrong. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Stephen Jonkis. He's an attorney, former rocket scientist and chemical engineer, and he's with the Jonkis Law PC firm. And you can find out more about him by heading to Jonkis. That's JONCUS.net. And he's also the attorney in the Tim Sipple case that is looking to open up the database from Washington County. So it sounds like Mr. Sipple was just kind of swinging by Washington County to pick up something for Janice when he discovered that other ballot database. Was that the case, or is and was that ballot database just part of her request, or is that simply an error on the part of Washington County?
I can't guess their intent. I assume it's an error. They claim it's an error. So they don't. They did not intend. At least the officials in Washington County did not intend to produce that database, and it was a backup of the database that was on that drive. And it's not easy to detect that it's there. There are, you know, 600,000 files in that folder.
Wow.
And you're on your desktop PC, you can't even look at that. Your Windows or your Mac can't even deal with that number of files in a folder. So you have to have computing expertise just to figure out what's there, which Tim Sipple has.
So they're trying to stop the release of that database, and that's the actual ballot. Why is that considered that the public shouldn't have access to that? Of anything, that would be the one that you should be able to release because it's the actual vote. You'd want people to see that.
Yeah, they have three reasons that they have asserted under their exemptions under the public disclosure laws, public records request laws. One is for computer programs. You know, a database is not a computer program. It's like The difference between your Excel program on your computer and Excel file that you generate.
Right.
Sharing Excel files is not sharing a computer program.
Right. Exactly.
It's just the data produced by the program.
Right. Yeah. I'd like
and
to
the other exemption. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I'd like to come back to that. Why don't you go ahead and continue with what you're saying there?
The other ones are trade secret. They claim there are trade secrets in that database, and they claim that you identify security measures or weaknesses to the election system that they have. Mm.
Yeah, that sounds like the old national defense trick, where they redact embarrassing information and emails that have been produced from FOIA requests, claiming it's national defense, we can't release that. And then when a judge reads it and orders the redaction removed, it turns out it wasn't top secret, it was just embarrassing or incriminating. So who knows where that will go with that. But, you know, I'm not an attorney, but I am familiar with contracts and contract language. And as I read this section in their contract regarding work product, it sounds to me like they really have nothing to stand on here. And this is from that contract. It says, all work products of the contractor which result from this contract, except material previously and mutually identified as confidential proprietary, shall be provided to the county upon request. And here's the important point, shall be considered the exclusive property of the county. And then going forward here, such work products include but are not limited to databases, and it lists others, but right there, databases. And so that indicates to me that the work product, the database, belongs to the county and therefore the public. So help me and our audience understand, is the county able to commission work products and then that are somehow not public, that belong solely to the county and not to the people?
I think they're relying on the exemptions. They're going to try to prove that the database is a computer program. It doesn't matter what the contract says. They're going to try to say that notwithstanding the contract, it's a security risk. Hmm. So I think you're right. I agree with you that the contract is dispositive. But obviously they're going to argue that it's not, and we'll see what the judge says about that.
Well, getting back to what you said about the SQL database, the county, in their response to the DA, claims that, quote, the SQL database contains what the county considers to be unique intellectual property design under the definitions of licensed software. Inherent in the SQL database is a database architectural structure that ClearBallet, that's the contractor, is trying to protect through the attachment, through the attachment B. And that's the thing, as you mentioned, is that SQL, it's a list of, it's data. It's a list. It's a table of numbers and text from which information is gleaned, but there's no programming involved with the database itself. So unless what they're trying to claim is that the data itself is proprietary because they've added information to it that doesn't belong there, it seems to me there can be no claim of proprietary intellectual property. How are they claiming that the database is proprietary?
I don't understand the details of their claim as to how they can claim that. I mean, again, that's disposed of by the contract. The contract says there's no intellectual property in the database. And if there was, the county has got a full paid-up license, non-exclusive and irrevocable to the intellectual property. Yeah. So, and another thing about a trade secret is it's not a trade secret if you don't keep it secret.
Yeah.
So, you have to take reasonable efforts to keep something secret. And this contract, which says there's no limitations, no intellectual property that they possess, that ClearBallet possesses, says there's no secrets.
Yeah. Well, I'm not even sure what unique architecture that they refer to. I'm not sure what unique architecture there could be other than they have some sort of unique callouts or sorting functions. But again, if it's just supposed to count voters plus ballots, I'm not sure what could be unique about that. I mean,
I agree with you. And I go back to my analogy to an Excel spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
An Excel spreadsheet has lots of unique characteristics. Only Microsoft Excel, where you have to know the exact way to talk to it. You can convert it to other formats for other programs, but it's very unique. It's designed specifically by Microsoft to interface with their software.
Right.
And That's not a trade secret. The Excel spreadsheet itself, you can share it freely, and there's nothing in there that is protectable.
Yeah, it's just a database of numbers and texts, and I just don't see how they can, especially if that's the data from the county itself. It seems to me that just can't be protected. Okay, let's go and take a break there. Coming back, we'll talk about some broader issues within the elections. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're talking today to Stephen Jonkas. He's an attorney representing Tim Sippett in his lawsuit to release a test database from Washington County Elections. You can find out more about him in this ongoing case by heading to jonkasnet. That's jonkus.net. And so how does the county think that it will get people to trust them on elections if they just keep hiding everything? Shouldn't we be able to trust our elections?
We should be able. I'm not good at reading minds, Mark, so I don't know how they think that.
Well, it's...
Yes, we should trust our elections. I think it's counterproductive for them to be fighting this. They ought to be as transparent as they can be, and that will lead to trust. Unless, of course, something is found in the records. I will note that national authorities mark Washington County as being having extreme amount of fraud in elections. So as well as most of the counties in Western Oregon. So I think with the movie 2000 Mules, that's become very popular and exposes the criminal scheme to disenfranchise and to steal the United States, to disenfranchise voters. This is makes it almost that more important that there's transparency.
Right. Absolutely.
And besides being a lawyer in this case, I'm very offended by the state's position on this. This is terrible.
Well, you should be, and everybody should be, because the old adage that if you don't have anything to hide, then you wouldn't go to this kind of extremes to hide it, I think holds true. There's no reason to hide this. If it's a fair and free and open election and everything was above board, get it out there. Prove it. But, you know, it just seems like our elections are now effectively being run by private entities. Private companies make the machines, and they make and control the software that counts the votes. And then they claim it's all proprietary. You, the public, aren't allowed to look under the hood. You just have to trust us, which effectively means that the private companies are running the elections and deciding who wins. That was one of the more eye-opening aspects of 2020. I had no idea that states were paying huge amounts of money to private companies like Dominion and some of these other voting machines and the software and everything else, billions of dollars collectively. When exactly did that happen, and when did our elections become such big business?
Yeah, I don't know the history on that. I think making things computerized is common sense. That's how you increase productivity in the workplace, for example. But there's all sorts of problems with that. When you're talking about securing an accurate vote that nobody can monkey with, because computers, the numbers in a computer can be changed, and no one on the outside will know. And in companion with that is the mail-in voting. That is just a recipe for fraud. We know there was fraud in the 2020 election.
Sure.
We know there was enough fraud to change the result in the presidential election.
Yes. So who do you know, looking at the interplay between state elections offices and county elections offices and these private entities, who is really running our elections nowadays? Is it county and state officials, or is it private companies like Dominion and Clear Ballot?
I don't know. And that's part of the problem. I like the term that Catherine Austin Fitz uses for what's going on here in a whole bunch of areas, and it's Mr. Global. Mm. We don't know who Mr. Global is, but there is a force of billionaires who are trying to take over the world and make the rest of us slaves. And this is just one aspect of it. If they can control our election results and who gets elected, then that just is part of their plan.
Yeah. So in the pursuit of, actually, I'll come back to that. So a few months ago, we started having conversations with Jonathan Emord, who's been a frequent guest of ours. He's like you, an attorney. And in talking with him, one of the things that came up off air was that we should be suing the state of Oregon for not cleaning its voter rolls because that runs afoul of federal election laws. Can you weigh in on that?
Yes, we should. I'm looking for a client.
Hmm. What would that entail?
Well, you know, I haven't really researched it. I think that I think it's actually a bigger problem than that. I think that the whole idea of mail-in voting is unconstitutional because it invites fraud, and we know that it's vulnerable to fraud. It's impossible to clean the voter rolls if you think about it. You know, how is the government going to know when my teenage daughter moves out of the house, is no longer eligible to vote? They don't know. How are they going to know when my grandparent or my parent passes away and is no longer eligible to vote? They can't know. They can't keep track of that. It's not only are they not doing anything to try to keep track of it, it's an impossible task, which is why one reason why I think this is unconstitutional. You have an inherent safety measure by requiring people to come to a central location on a day to show their ID and vote. That helps ensure that that person is eligible to vote because they're not going to travel very far to do that.
Right.
Now, is it conceivable that someone could move to Washington State and then come back and vote in Oregon? Yes. But it cuts down on the level of fraud that is possible. Right now, we have massive levels of fraud that are possible and massive levels of fraud that are actually happening.
Oh, absolutely. And what you describe is the process that pretty much most of the rest of the countries in the world all follow. You have to have ID. You have to show up in person. You have to cast your ballot, except for very rare cases when you're physically disabled and simply cannot get there, but then it's a long process to make sure that you are, in fact, telling the truth on that. Unfortunately, we're up against the clock. I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking with you, and I hope this helps the audience understand what's going on in this case.
Oh, absolutely. It's a big mess. So the big news since the election hasn't been so much who won, but the fiasco that happened in Clackamas County. Due to printer's error, barcodes were unscannable. At first, it was reported that the problem was just a few hundred ballots, so the Clackamas County clerk decided to have some volunteers fill out new ballots, filling in the little circles on the fresh ballot with the votes of the spoiled ballot, watched over, allegedly, by one Democrat and one Republican to ensure accuracy. And then, as the chaos continued and more and more and more ballots turned out to be unscannable, now running into the tens of thousands, the county clerk called in county workers to fill out ballots. And, adding to the chaos, now even Democrats are upset. Perhaps they're especially troubled that, hey, the funny business is now being done to us, fellow Democrats. Or maybe it's because county workers filling out ballots in addition to all of the rest of the mess just confirms what all of those 2020 election conspiracy theorists out there were all saying all along, that our elections are not safe, they are not secure, and the image of county workers filling out your ballot for you is just really bad optics. To talk about all that and more, I'd like to welcome back Don Powers. He is the chair of the election, co-chair of the Election Integrity Committee for the Oregon Republican Party and part of a nationwide election integrity group that has been helping to expose the lack of election integrity all across the country. Don, welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be back with you guys. I know it's been a little while. I've been kind of busy, so I haven't been able to catch up with you. So it's nice to catch back up with you.
Yes, it absolutely is. So did I miss anything there in my summation of what's happening in Clackamas County?
No, it was beautiful. Thanks. We're done here. No, very, very nicely put. You know, one of the things that struck me in your opening, and I'm glad you reminded me of it, because what people need to come to is, this is not a red or a blue issue, right? This Republican-Democrat issue. Mm-hmm. People think that because we're concerned about what happened, we're concerned about the security and integrity of our elections, that, it's a Republican thing of conspiracy theorists, and we're all a bunch of, ultra MAGAs or whatever. What we're finding now is people realizing what I and many others have been saying for a while, which is the both Democrats and Republicans, Americans have been disenfranchised, by this mess. Yes. And this chaos. And it's important to recognize that and to stop letting the media and some of the crazies control the narrative that this is, a bunch of crazy conspiracies, whereas we've got a massive amounts of evidence all over the country. Mm-hmm. About this problem, and trying to find out what's happening here in Oregon and exactly what the problems are and vulnerabilities are has been extremely difficult, because there's this mentality that if you think there's a problem, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're the greatest threat to American security, right? The president or the occupant has so stated, and you've got similar language coming from the Secretary of State, and which just causes this a lot of tension, right? It's kind of like a powder keg,
right?
what it creates.
As far as these ballots are concerned, what exactly is this barcode that got messed up, and how so? Was it on the? It must have been on the ballot itself, I assume, rather than the envelope. So why is this barcode messing everything up?
Yeah. So the idea is, or the barcodes contain a unique identifier, so that you couldn't rescan that ballot, right? Which is great. Think about it, if you go to a sporting event, for example, and you have your ticket, and you can print them out at home. So you could print that ticket out 5 times at home, but the first one who walks through the gate gets that scanned, and then the next person who has that same one is not able to get into the ballpark or into the stadium, because that ticket, that unique barcode, has already been scanned by the system. So that's the idea of having the barcode there.
It's a security measure, right?
Unique identifier,
right?
Yeah, so that they can't be run again and again.
So,
great idea. What they're having a problem with is that, and I have a picture of it, and it's been shared around now more openly. But there's a picture that shows that there was an issue with the printing, where the printing is not as dark and not as crisp on the ones that have the problem. And in fact, there's a little line, a white line, that you can see kind of going through the barcode from, on a horizontally right through the barcode, which apparently that is causing the barcodes not to be scannable. Mm. I had a conversation with the lady who's the vice president of the printing company out in Bend, and some interesting conversation with her. She was very, very candid. I felt like she was being very, very upfront and honest with me. And a couple of things that I asked her, when was it that they first knew that there was a problem? She said it was on Wednesday, right after, the day after ballots started being counted. And she actually came to Clackamas County and looked at them, tried to work with them to find out to see the problem, to recognize what the problem was and whatnot. So the frustrating part for me was they knew they were having scanning problems, and then just continued scanning. And I think that, one thing is, the prudent thing would have been to let people know that there's this problem. You might be able to see it on your ballot. It really actually is not that hard to see it. It's visible. And a person can go, oh, my ballot has one of these marks. It's got that, that issue. And you can have a choice. You have a choice to go ahead and send it in and know that we're going to duplicate it. But if you're not comfortable with that, you can come down and get a fresh one and fill it out yourself, right?
Well, that's the thing that I don't understand is why are they having county workers transfer the votes and not simply mail the spoiled ballots back to the original voter and have them fill it out and then send in a fresh ballot.
I mean, goodness knows that they have enough time, right, with the new laws that are passed allowing them to count, you know, until like Christmas, I think. And sorry, it's
Well, you're not exactly inaccurate. Let's go ahead and take a break a little bit early because I got some more questions on this. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Don Powers talking about the mess that is happening in Clackamas County. Matt, this is the Ice Pipe Radio Show. We're talking today about election integrity, which we don't have here in Oregon, and rigged elections, which we do. We're talking with Don Powers, who is part of the team of investigators looking at voter fraud all across the country. He's also the co-chair of election integrity for the OORP. And Don, on that last point, with new leadership in the OORP, are they taking election integrity more seriously? Last time that we had talked, they didn't seem to want to talk about it and didn't want candidates to talk about it because they thought it was a losing issue. You know, it is a losing issue. It's stolen elections, but that's just me, of course. So has there been any change there at the ORP in terms of looking at election integrity?
Well, it's interesting you say that because there's a document that just came out, and I haven't had a chance yet to read through it. I was hoping to get to that this morning and wasn't able to. But it looks like they're trying to put out some kind of statement or request to stop mail-in voting. But I need to read it through.
And that's coming from the ORP?
Yes.
Good. Well, good. You know, you can't help but look
at it.
I need
to take a good look at it, though, before I know exactly what it is.
Right. Well, you can't help but look at Clackamas County and think this is just a disaster. So something's got to change. And so getting back to Clackamas, you had said that she'd the representative from the printer company had come out from Bend into Clackamas on the Wednesday after they were alerted that there were some problems. And just to clear that up, it wasn't the Wednesday after the election on May 17th, Tuesday.
Correct.
It would have been the 4th because it had been reported earlier that the clerk knew by May 3rd that there was a problem. And that of course, explains why you were saying that why not just, you know, alert the voters what was going on and they could either ask for a new ballot or come in and fill one out there. So as far as what's going on there in Clackamas County, can anyone, should anyone, fully trust the outcomes of this election in Clackamas?
I don't think that they should because, you know, there's a lot of issues, as we know, around the country with, you know, especially with 2,000 mules having just come out right now here in Oregon. If anybody gets a chance, they should go listen to one of Dr. Douglas Frank's lectures. We've got in at 5 or 6 different locations around all the way through this coming Wednesday. And so he's going to be, I don't know, several different places. You can go to cleanvoterrolls.com and go to events and see his schedule there and attend one of his events. He's got a lot of data and a lot of really fantastic information about what's going on around the country and a little bit about what's happening here in Oregon. So at the end of the day, you know, voter confidence has been lost around the country, and voter confidence is certainly lost here in Clackamas County. And there's several things about it specifically that frustrate me. When you look at quality control in any other company, whether it's a software company or a manufacturing company, it starts off with at the very core of where you begin your processes. And you start there and you work your way through every possible process and every single scenario. And when you go into the county clerks, for example, they go, oh, come on in, we'll show you our processes. Our processes are beautiful. They're so clean. We're wonderful. And they believe that wholeheartedly. And they, you know, as far as what they're doing, you know, I believe them to be, you know, to be honestly trying to make sure everything is perfectly handled. I do believe that. I don't believe there's many, if any, county clerks that are, you know, corrupt and allowing corruption by, you know, intentionally at all. But there are things that they need to understand that, you know, sometimes you have to stop thinking like an honest person and think about like somebody who might be trying to.
Sure.
So I have to try to make sure I put things in place that absolutely have the best control. So one of those examples to me is they run their accuracy test before the elections, and they invite people to come in and watch our accuracy test. So they take some ballots and they fill them out and they tally them by hand, What a concept. They tally them by hand so they know what to expect when they put it through the machine. And so they put them through the machine and they check what the machine has read and they check it to their hand tally and they go, yep, those are two things are accurate. See how accurate our system is? It's reading the ballots and put them through. Well, the problem is, in part, that there's something like 170 or I can't remember exactly how many in Clackamas County, 145 different ballot styles. Right. And most counties are the same way. There's all kinds of ballot styles. You've got different districts. You've got different thing, you know, measures on the ballot. You've got some that are federal only, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then you talk about, then you do it all over again in Spanish. So we're talking about a lot of different ballot styles. So to run it, to really run it accurately and properly, you would take, say, a cross section of all every single ballot style to make sure that every single ballot style is going through accurately. That's a lot of work, no question, but it's critical, right? And it, there's no excuse not to do it that way. The other problem, though, that I think we ran into in Clackamas County is an example of where there's a gap in their process, that they're printing out ballots there at their office on their laser printers. They're not getting actual real ballots from the printer because if they had been getting them from the printer, and then had run 100 of each ballot style, for example, or more, right, they would have come across ones that were poorly printed and would have run into this issue ahead of time. And they'll say, uh-oh, our logic and accuracy test shows us we've got a problem with them. Let's find out what it is. The printer could have, at that point, made a correction possibly in time, right? And then reprinted, you know, new ballots. I don't know if it was already too late based on the fact that, you know, the printer prints them, and then they send them off to a mail order place that sends, that then does the envelopes and sends them off, right? Or sends them to the post office that then mails them out, right? So there's multiple touch points here.
Right.
So anyway, the point is there's one point of failure where the process wasn't done as well as it should have been done. My other challenge that I have, and this is the conversation I had with the lady who's the vice president, I don't want to name her specifically, but you know, I mean, I guess anybody can look it up if you look up the printing company Moonlight out of Bend. There's a couple of concerns, but I spoke with her and I said, okay, so you can verify that the ones that are printed poorly, you can tell me that you verify that they came off your machine. Because there's always this concern that they're being printed somewhere else, right? Some people have that concern. Yep. It's a fair concern. We've seen it. We've seen in other parts of the country where they've got, you know, what do you want to call it? Like, you know, ballot farms. They've got a bunch of people set up and they're just sitting there filling out, you know, ballots ready to mail in. We've seen that. So there's a concern, first of all, whether they were actually printed on their machines. She verified, you know, yes, I can tell you that they were printed on our machine. We had this problem with the machine. We immediately repaired it. And, you know, and she's also mentioned to me that they had asked that they do a test. They test, randomly sample all the ballot styles with their hand scanner, and they were passing just fine. They didn't run into any issues. So then you get to these ballots get to, you know, Clackamas County, and the scanners are having problems scanning them. And what frustrates me about that is they're putting it all on the printer and everybody's jumping all over this printer. And I'm thinking to myself, I can see it. I can see the flaw, the difference between the two barcodes, you know, on the ones that are printed clearly versus the ones that aren't as dark or as, you know, that have that line through. I've seen that printing problem before because I used to own a design firm, a media design firm many years ago. And we've seen that sometimes when a printer has a difference, I don't know if it's a roller or whatnot, but when you get to those large, you know, commercial printing companies, I've seen it before where stuff would come back to us, you know, samples, or they'll do a run and we get 1,000 of them in a box of brochures or whatever. And all of a sudden there's a line through the middle of some of them because something happened and they always reprint them. You know?
There's so many different variables that can go into a printing job that could just throw off little things like that. All right. Let's go ahead and take a break. Come back. We'll be talking about some solutions with Don Power. Stay with us. And welcome back.
back into our final segment now here on the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking with, today with Don Powers, talking about election integrity, especially the mess that's been happening right before our eyes up there in Clackamas County. Oh, no, don't look. There's no such thing as voter fraud or election integrity issues. So Don, just to back up a bit here, we were talking about these barcodes that were not scanning at the county offices. They had done some test scans. They had seen the flaw. They used their hand scanners. And on their end, things were working. And yet when they get to the county offices, for some reason, their machines can't can't scan those barcodes correctly. So what do you attribute that to? Why can't the county machines scan these?
There's some discussion that maybe the tolerance level is set, you know, much higher on these scanning machines because of the resolution that they scan at, which is peculiar because it's really not a very high resolution, 200 to 300 DPI. I can't remember which one that Clackamas uses, but either one of those resolutions is not very high, right? It is peculiar to me because I said the same thing with the lady from the printing company, and I said, it just seems odd to me, though, that the machine wouldn't scan it. She says, yeah, that seems odd to me, too. So she even kind of just couldn't, you know, was frustrated that it wouldn't scan them. So is there a direct answer to that? I don't know. She also mentioned to me that she would like to, she's offered to, you know, buy one of the scanners from the vendor. Like, just give me the model number. I'll buy it directly from the scan from the manufacturer so that we have the exact model and get it directly from them. She's like, I'll pay for it. I've offered them that. And I've yet to be able to get that, you know, ability. And so she's a little frustrated by that. So there's things like that in general, let's say that's not intentional fraud by Clackamas County or the vendor. Let's say that it's not.
But accidental fraud is just as bad as intentional fraud.
Well, there's negligence at some point too, sure. Right? When there are safeguards and precautions that could and or should have been put in place and you just didn't do them for some reason, you start to wonder, right? It does at the very least give people reason for pause, and it should give them reason for pause. Like any other company, when you see somebody saying, well, why didn't you do this? Oh, well, you know, we just didn't think it was necessary. And they keep doing that and keep doing this. What's going on? So like, I'll continue real quick on that because here's the thing. So when it first happened, I get a phone call. Don, we got a bunch of ballots not scanning. I'm here at the observing, and a bunch of ballots not scanning. It seems to be like they're telling us it's like 5%. I'm like, oh, well, that's crazy. 5% of them, that's an odd, you know, number. And then I get on the phone and I call the printer and I tell them about it. And she says, oh, yeah, I know. I was there the other day. And she told me her whole story that we discussed earlier. And then I found out that Margie from the Clackamas County Republican Party went running out of the building, scurrying out the door, saying that she had to go talk to the press. I'm like, why is Margie sprinting off to do damage control? Is what it felt to me like, because it was immediate that she takes off.
Was she trying
to
do damage control, or was it more about alerting people to the fact that there's a big problem here?
Well, because she didn't say it's a big problem, first of all. First of all, she said that it just happened to a few of the ballots. But that wasn't true, right? But it's not true. And so we start seeing this kind of pattern of not being completely transparent and not being completely truthful, right? Trying to say, oh, it's a small problem, it's no big deal, right? When you see that, you see that they should have done something in the beginning when they found, you know, there's a problem with scanning. Why continue scanning for that long?
Exactly.
When you know you've got a problem, you know, why go scurrying to the press and telling them it's only a few? Why, you know, that's not honest.
No.
Right.
No. Well, you
so
know, there's just
things like that.
There's things like that just really make you begin to call into question these results, and they should be called into question. So Don, we've only got a couple minutes here with you. You work with a team of people looking at election fraud all across the country. I still have not personally seen the film 2000 Mules, but what kind of impact is that having on everyday people and on election investigations?
Well, it's been massive, actually. There's arrests happening all over the country right now. There's arrests happening in Arizona, in Wisconsin, Georgia, as a result of this. We finally got to where, I mean, this evidence has been out there. This video is not, the video clips and pieces are not new, but getting them compiled and getting out in the public's eye, like that Dinesh and True the Vote have done, has brought it to the point where they cannot deny it, right? And enough people are seeing it that they can't run from it. And now law enforcement is finally, you know, acting on it, right? Because what law enforcement typically wants is they want to show me proof that election law, that a law was broken, and I will you know, investigate it, right? And so that's what that movie has been able to do, that film has been able to do, is show, like, as clear as can be, these people stuffing ballot boxes, right? Physically stuffing ballot boxes. So that's evidence that can't be denied. It's irrefutable. It's right in front of your eyes. And it reminds me a little bit of something I ran into at Clackamas County just when I was there observing the other day. And I know we're short on time. I'll be quick. So I'm there and I'm watching and I see two things going on that bother me. There's people sitting there duplicating the ballots, but it's all auditory. So one person has the original ballot. They call out what they see on it. The person next to them fills it in. Then they switch the ballot and the person with the original one reads it back, which is... This is a minor thing, so I probably shouldn't spend much time on it, but they should also be visually looking, because if I look on the ballot and I see person A, B, and C, and I go, I always want person C to win, and I tell the person, I read off, and I tell them C, and that person writes down C,
but then without we looking, swap, yeah,
and that person right, reads off, okay, B, and the person who originally did it, they're looking at it, they see it, right, but they know that's the one that they personally changed. So they just go, yep, and pass it on. So they could potentially do that. And that's, you know, one thing. Yeah, and if there's not an observer overlooking those two is
right.
An issue. They got a table, there's four people, two of them working together. And I you know, that I think that's a stretch. But I'm just saying, if you want absolute security and comfort, you would have that. And then you would have a third person overlooking
and,
that table
and I think that's,
watching them just in case somebody mismarks.
Sure. And I think that's the biggest problem is there are ways to make our election safe and as close to fraud-free as possible, and yet we're not doing that. Don, unfortunately, yeah. We are up against the clock. I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
We will be having Don Powers on back next week for at least part of the show. There were some additional elements that he witnessed in Clackamas County that raise even more questions about what exactly was happening and whether or not we can trust that election. Also, be sure to check out cleanvoterrolls.com. That's cleanvoterrolls.com. This is a new site keeping track of what's going on here in Oregon's elections. Also, check out their events page because Dr. Douglas Frank is on tour in the Willamette Valley and Southern Oregon to discuss Oregon's elections. Dr. Frank discovered several of the algorithms being employed to manipulate the elections, and he's going to be our guest next week, so be sure to tune in for that as all of us work to hold our elected officials accountable. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.